What country is this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb, Berlin, Zlotikier.
Hello and welcome to Hooter and H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
Oh, I wasn't expecting that one. I'm very well, Terry, very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it. I almost forgot the intro.
That's Jesus.
That really threw me.
Shaka.
Terry, name that movie. No way. I'll never get it.
I'll give you the star. Jim Carrey.
Oh. Shaka. Oh, When Nature Calls.
Yeah, you go. Pew, pew. You like a glove?
That one hasn't aged as well as the first one.
Still love it. I wore out the VHS of that.
Oh, yeah?
After recording it from Sky Movies. It's the Monopoly guy.
How the hell have you been, Terry?
I've been good.
The start of that sentence was way more high-pitched than yeah. I've been, actually.
Yeah, I mean, by and large, I've been good. I remember saying the weekend before last, I was like dying with like a kind of cold or whatever. Like,
yeah.
And then last Saturday night, I was puking my ring up.
What's going on?
Like, it was pure, like, I think I just ate too much shite during the day. Like, or like I had, my love of bacon came back to bite me in the ass, I think.
Baking or bacon?
Bacon, Andy. You're not talking to your brother here with baking. Let me tell you. Right,
should have known.
Yeah. No, bacon. It looked a little off color, but like Jerry Stiller in
I thought if I got the spices just right.
Exactly.
he went home all right with a crater in his colon the size of a cutlet.
What great alliteration. Crater in the colon the size of a cutlet.
You know, it's funny, Kerry got up in the middle of the night a few nights ago and said she was puking her ring up as well.
We were watching Wild Things. Throw your mind back to 1998.
That sexy thriller?
Yes, sir.
I've only seen the cover and I've always been intrigued.
I tell you, it's good. It's bad, good. It's bad, but it's good. Like, Matt Dillon is in it. It's kind of like, if you're stupid, you think it's like softcore porn. Right. You know, like when I was 13, I was like, whoa, yeah.
Yeah.
And now,
I can't believe I missed this my whole teens.
You know, that was the whole thing because Denise Richards and Neve Campbell make out in it.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Showgirls.
Also a classic.
Yeah, I remember that, right.
Again, another one that's very subversive, but like watching it as an adult, I'm like, okay, like, yeah, it is. It straddles the line very nicely in terms of like it's almost not intentionally bad, but he knows what he's skewering here. And Matt Dillon plays pretty good sleazeball.
If Matt Dillon's in a movie, he's there for the sleaze factor, 100%.
He's the guidance counselor that is accused of like being too friendly with Denise Richards, even though she is absolutely throwing herself at him. Like,
didn't Matt Dillon play like Bukowski in a movie?
Yeah, he did,
and he was actually quite good in that, like in a somewhat
Matt
serious
good.
Role.
Like, is he what he is good? Like,
I just don't know. He's one of these guys. Like, is he terrible or is he good? Why do I like him
like,
so much?
There's certain things where he's like something about Mary.
Something about Mary is really why I like him. You know,
but also like One Night at McCool's.
He's
so like, especially when because it's shot like it's told from four different POVs. What is that?
Now, Terry, this is right up your street here. Look at the colour on this.
Swamp water.
It's Robinson's refreshed apple and kiwi. I tell you, look at it. It's clear. It's right up your street.
It's not clear. Lucozade citrus clear is clear. That
absolutely
is toilet
horrible.
Water.
Oh my god. That's syrup. This looks like it's all like, oh, sustainable, organic, like fresh, straight from the mountain stream. It's fucking syrup.
It looks like it's swamp water, Andy. Like.
Anyway, apologies.
No, you're okay. It was worth it to see your face.
I completely derailed you. No, and so what, you were watching this when you were
and I
kind
of had
sick?
A bit of a pain in my tummy, and I was like, oh, I probably just need to take a dump, like, you know. And then I did take a massive dump.
Do you think you were so aroused that it made you sick?
No, not at all, like, because I wasn't actually
think about it
watching it. I was so aroused, my body was fighting itself.
Don't do it.
Out demon, out. But like, just had a really bad like cramp, and then I was like, oh, I just need to take like a really big poo, and then I did that.
Nice.
And then it didn't go away. And I was halfway through one of my patented whiplash IPAs. So I didn't even finish it. That was the real crime.
That's the real tragedy.
That was the real crime. But yeah, then I just like, I was in bed and I was like cold, like needed a hot water bottle. Like, I woke up fine the next day, but it was just that like, oh no. It was like Homer with the sandwich.
Yeah.
I can't stay mad at you.
When he just collapses on the car horn.
Tough gardens.
And how are you now? Are you all right now?
Yes, I'm grand. And how are you?
Very well, Terry, very well. I've actually been going on a bit of a... I actually can't believe that I'm suckered in every time. Sometimes I know it's coming. What have you got there?
Well, Andy, I'm glad you asked. I have a... Voodoo Ranger American Haze.
Well,
I'll give it a pour and we'll see what we're like here.
Have you ever tasted it before?
Listen to that pour.
Have you ever tasted it?
No, not this one.
Oh. Now so, look, just let the taste hit your mouth before you start reacting positively.
Now you talk about me as if I've never had to throw away a beer live to take. remember the Big Bunny IPA or whatever it was, Double Bunny or Double Hopper. Now Andy, I want you to look at this thing here, the can. Look at that can.
Yeah, okay, it's cool.
Good, right?
Yeah, it's cool.
It's like
it's a skeleton with a helmet and a guitar and ski goggles.
It's like Easy Rider, but he's a skeleton.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
Now,
go on.
Here comes the real test. Like that. Oh, that's nice.
Come on now. You always say that, and then if I push you,
no,
sometimes
that's good. Okay. I would drink a few pints of that, my friend. Let me tell you, if pints are ever to exist again.
If that was ever a thing again, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
what have you been up to?
So rudely interrupted. I've been on a bit of a cleanse this week.
Now, I wanted to say this is my last beer for the month of November.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of cleanses.
I'm with you. I'm feeling it, man.
What are we going to do next week?
More milk.
Well, my cleanse has been... I've completely gone off social media.
Data cleanse. Fuck off.
Now, listen to me. Listen to me. The reason being, I've deleted... I actually deleted all of my social media apps because I was getting just so bad for being on social media and on my phone. Just automatic, like, reaching for the phone all the time. And I was just like... And then, like, it was kind of at a stage last week where I was just like, I don't feel good, you know what I mean? Like, just this constant fucking, like, zombie-like scrolling. So I was like, I'm just going to delete them all. And like, it's actually been, like, quite hard because I didn't realize how addicted to it I actually was.
Plus
and I kind of What?
Plus the election.
Like. Oh, yeah, all that fucking shit. But it's actually been brilliant. I've thoroughly enjoy being off. I'm
I've set like a little chirping again.
What? Yeah.
What's that?
So I'm going to give it like maybe 30 days and see. So just if you don't see us posting as much on the podcast page, I actually go in through a social media management thing. And I post some things through that. But anyway, it's been very good. And I've been exercising
every... As long as the work doesn't slip, you know, Andy, that's fine.
I think this will only improve the work.
As your boss.
I'll get those posts to you.
CEO of this limited
put
company.
Put it in H Industries. So I've been doing that and I've been exercising every morning. And I've been feeling right as rain this week.
Good.
So I have to say it's been a good
Glad
week so far.
To hear it. It's
I'm
getting
keep
to that
it up.
Part of the year where you need to look after your mental health.
Yeah,
I mean that's
exactly.
been the whole year, but like also now, everything getting so dark so quickly.
Cold,
like,
dark, COVID, all that shit. So yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's been what's going on. So I don't know what's been going on in the world apart from the election,
I wanted to say to any of our listeners in America who are feeling stressed and anxious, and probably by the time you hear this, it'll maybe be over. I don't know.
I think so.
But we just hope you're hanging in there because it seems like it's crazy what's happening over there.
Like even if Trump loses, it shows how divided like the whole nation
is.
I'm just
shocked how many votes he has gotten.
No, I wasn't. I actually thought he was going to win again, to be honest.
No, I didn't. Because they're saying how many new voters there were this time around. Like the voter apathy has like disappeared because they're like, fuck this.
They
we can't.
Strongly.
But in the same time, like I've been reading so much about like people I follow on Twitter and they're just like, it's so shocking to me. We're broken as a country that like 235,000 or whatever it is dead. And it's not enough to like stop voting for this guy, you know. Yeah. It means absolutely nothing to them. That's like I'm Republican. This is, you know, what we do. It doesn't make them wake up, for lack of a better term. Like, you know,
it's just mad to like even seeing the like. There's like Republican. Like I know it's not as black and white, but like there's certain states that you just know are going to be Republican, and some that are going to be Democrat. And it's mad when you look at the map of who voted for Trump and Biden. I was looking at it on the Guardian today, where it's like all the coastal areas are all blue, and all middle America is all red, like Wyoming, Montana, Texas, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, like bar Florida, which he won. But that's, you know, where there's so many Republicans that go to retire down there.
Yeah.
I saw, and I was very disappointed, I have to say, that Chris Jericho had been tweeting. I noticed that a little while ago where he was like liking.
Oh, Trump?
He liked something that Trump had posted. And then he was like, I'm not a political person, but isn't it weird that we're not going to have the results on election night or whatever like that, like for the first time ever. And everybody was like 2000, you know, throwing all this stuff back.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's disappointing. Like I'm not political, but also Trump is my guy. And then like,
surprised to hear that now,
you know, that SpongeBob gif where he's like, and he's kind of his arms. And it was like, CM Punk was like, I'm not a political person, but like every second letter was caps.
Yeah, capital. Yeah,
and it was just that there. And I was like, oh, very good. I like it.
Very good, Phil.
Yeah. You got him, Phil. I learned something about myself this week.
Yeah?
I have a trigger.
Oh, what is it, Terry?
The trigger is Marvin Gaye's Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
And what does that trigger?
It makes me cry, Andy.
Oh!
Every time.
Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
We watched a film that I would say it's pedestrian at best. Or, you know, whatever. Like, it's fine.
Okay.
Stepmom, it's on Netflix. Have you heard of this?
Haven't, no.
It was a phase pick, of course.
Okay.
1998, directed by Chris Columbus of Home Alone fame.
Ooh. I know who he is.
Yeah, big gear shift though, because Susan Sarandon is the mother of two children, and she is divorced from Ed Harris, who is going out with Julia Roberts, the eponymous stepmom.
All right.
Or soon to be stepmom. So, you know, it's whatever, you know, they hate her and, you know, she's the hot the shot usual young shtick, photographer. Yeah. Ed Harris, Susan Sarandon are fighting, but they love their kids. And there's literally a scene where it's like the two kids and Julia Roberts is like the young, hip mom, stepmom.
Yeah.
They're in the car, they listen to music, and that song came on. And there's absolutely like no emotional context or whatever. And I just started welling up completely. And I was like, what is going on here?
I thought you were going to say that like there was an emotional scene involving that in the movie. And now when you hear it, you cry thinking of the movie.
Maybe that's stored in there somewhere because it happened two more times in the film. And I started like crying.
With the same song?
Yeah, same song. It was repeated like two more times.
That's mad.
And I was like, Faith, like, are you crying? I'm like, yeah, I think so. Like,
what is this salty discharge?
Yeah, like, but I was like, it makes no. And then I remembered that I was like, at the end, it's at the end, the Guardians of the Galaxy, and I was like, holding it together there as well, like the first one.
Yeah,
but it's
wonder
just
what it is about that song. Is that the duet one?
Yeah, it's the duet one.
Yeah.
He did a whole album with that lady, was it?
Yeah, Tammy something, wasn't it?
Yeah. Because You're All I Need is also on that. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah, wrong. Is that the one that you stuck on Garbage Patrol? What was the one? There was a Marvin Gaye one that you stuck on Garbage Patrol. It's fucking brilliant. Trouble Man.
Got it from Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
Oh, really? I can't believe I missed that.
What?
I can't believe I missed it. When we
watched
it.
Because Falcon... whatever his name is.
Oh yeah, man.
I can't even remember, isn't it? His actual name.
Doesn't matter.
But he says to like Cap America, this is what you are like you've missed like the trouble like stuff to look up and it's like Trouble Man soundtrack and then it plays at the end when doing like a montage. It's fucking deadly though.
Yeah, I loved it. I've listened a few times now, big fan. Yeah. Terry, can I talk to you a bit about The Simpsons unless you have more to add here?
I just have one thing to add that I've been watching because I think it'd be up your alley.
Go on then.
A TV show called Utopia.
Okay.
It's on Amazon Prime.
Okay. I tell you, I saw that there's a Purge series on Amazon Prime.
I watched the first series. Not bad. Not bad.
I am very intrigued. We're big Purge fans in this house.
There's also a show called The Terror. It's a kind of horror anthology series.
Oh, nice.
The first one is about an Arctic expedition that gets...
You had me at Arctic.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's like an old-timey Arctic expedition that gets, you know, they get moored in the middle of ice land, whatever. Like, you know, they're stuck in between. Their boat is stuck on land, essentially. And what happens is there's some sort of monster, I think,
right,
terrorizing, but it's like fucking it. Really good.
Nice. Is this what you were recommending to me?
No, what I'm recommending is Utopia. And Utopia is kind of, you're a big conspiracy nut, right?
Mm-hmm. You know so it, Terry.
Utopia is essentially this couple find a graphic novel called Utopia.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we could sell this because they find it in like their granddad's house or something. And they're like, oh, we could sell this and make money off it. So they post it online and then it like at this like fringe Comic Con. And all these people are like queuing up to buy it.
Yeah.
And there's this group of people. They're like, the last comic, it predicted this death or this, you know, like all these hidden meanings in it. So the new one is going to be... You know, we have to get it and discover it. And then all these other people, like these shady government type people, are looking for it as well. But meanwhile, on the other side of it, it's like there's some sort of like some corporation grown virus. It's actually a flu. This couldn't have been released at a worse time because it is very much mirroring the pandemic that's happening. Like in terms of like it's a flu that's killing people and like they're looking for a cure, but like there's so
it does
much
sound
stuff.
Like something I'm a fan of pandemic movies, not pandemic in real life, that's terrible, but movies definitely.
But there's like so many bits where it's like, okay, we found where this guy is living. We have to go get, like, the two goons, we'll say. And it's like they dress up as they're from the gas company. And it's like, there's a gas leak. Could you just breathe in this oxygen? And they just put, like, an oxygen mask up to, like, somebody. And they're like, and they fall over. And it's like, I'm like, are they dead? Is that? Are they? Okay, like they're dead. Okay, grand. Like there's so much of that stuff where it's like,
you're like, oh shit,
like,
okay.
Like there's no fanfare. There's no, like, somebody dies and slow motion. They're like, ooh, you know, like.
I do like those sort of movies, like we were saying in Children of Men, or in, you know, a few of those where it's just someone's just shot, but it's not like, it takes you a second to be like, did she just, it's not a big, like, oh my God.
And there was literally a scene in it where, because there's so, the body count is like racked up in it. And then there was a character that I really liked, and it was like, she's dead. And I got really angry at the show. I was like, you're fucking killing her like that. Like, unbelievable. Like,
you're going
to do it. It turned out it was okay, but I was just like, I was like, well, I know the show is doing something for me if it's making me that annoyed.
Yeah, that animated, like,
you know.
Yeah.
But it's like eight episodes, 45-minute episodes.
I'm more open to Amazon, Terry. Yeah. South Park has been treating me very well. The Purge looks good. So, you know.
Well,
I think I'll stick around here.
The Terror and Utopia. You can add them to your list.
I'm not going to remember all of them. It'll have to be Terror or Utopia.
Well, you just said the two of them there. Like,
no, forget it. I wish Amazon I can't believe it's 2020 and Amazon don't have avatars that you can select for yourself.
I told you Bezos didn't get the richest man in the world by putting fucking Baby Groot as his Amazon.
I would never pick Baby Groot.
Who's your avatar on Disney?
On Disney, it's one of the Muppets going like, like the hair all up. It's very fitting.
Is it? It's not Beaker, is it?
It looks kind of like Beaker, yeah.
Yeah, you are sure Beaker. Like,
yeah, well, there you go. Thank you. my profile on my PS4 is Joel from The Last of Us. Because I kind of think I'm just like him.
I don't think I have a profile picture.
You must do a smiley face or something.
Oh, yeah, but like no, like proper avatar.
Oh,
I think we just have that regular start one, you know?
I got it all going on. I got themes. I got a Final Fantasy theme going on the background. Some experience.
My background is Stop the Planet of the Apes. I want to get off.
We're from two different worlds. Terry, speaking of, can I please talk to you about The Simpsons?
You surely may.
Now, in particular, Terry, would you be at all opposed to me discussing the 8th episode of The Simpsons' 7th season, Mother Simpson, which first aired on the Fox Network in the United States of America? Let me finish! The 19th of November, 1995.
Yeah, it's pina colada.
Couldn't fit it in the briefcase. Suitcase. Oh, this is... it was released, yeah, I said that. It's got a, I'm all over the shop already. It's got a Nielsen rating of 10, equivalent to approximately 9.6 million viewing households. It was the fourth highest rated show on Fox that week, following...
Let me guess, behind...
Go on, guess.
X-Files.
Yes.
Melrose Place.
Yes.
Beverly Hills.
Yes. I never realised Beverly Hills was such a smash hit, like...
Oh, it's a force.
Jesus, like...
Well, I mean, it was able to. The thing is that it was able to spawn, like, Melrose Place is a spin-off of Beverly Hills.
Oh, is
it? Isn't it?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think so. Because I remember even when. Yeah, I think Kelly Kapowski showed up in Melrose Place.
Oh yeah, I remember one of them did. All right. Kelly go.
See that they're rebooting Saved by the Bell?
I did not.
Looks awful.
Oh, all new people and all.
No, Zach is in it. He's governor of California. He's married to Kelly. There's Dr. Spano. She is the guidance counselor, I believe, in the school.
Is Belding in it?
AC Slater is the... no, I don't think Belding's in it. AC Slater seems to be the coach. But I tell you, got a great... I don't even know if it's the principal or whatever, but a great analog for Belding is your man from Community. I will have... A birthday cake.
I can't tell he's you how often we use like, that line in the series.
In the trailer, it was like, my parent is like, I don't care about your parents. I just care about Zach and Kelly. It's like, oh, okay. Like,
Well, hold on, you're frozen there.
Oh, no, you're frozen.
Okay. It was written, the first episode written by, I'm just going to crack on there, by Richard Appel, directed by David Silverman, and Glenn Close makes her first of seven guest appearances.
Seven?
As Homer's mother, yeah.
I was like, first of two, obviously, like, seven episodes she's been in. That can't be right.
I don't remember that well. Well, it's on Wikipedia, Terry. So, you know.
I mean, if those eggheads are saying it, it must be true.
You might have seen our last Wikipedia entry for, was it King Size Homer or was it the one before? Treehouse of Horror, yeah.
We're everywhere.
I'm just going to keep on doing it until someone stops me.
the Smash idea... Hit Podcast put it in there, like, oh, click on. Are we on a Wikipedia page?
I tell you what, Terry, we've had a bump in the numbers.
Yeah, I know.
Who knows?
We'll get to that at the end.
It was pitched by Richard Appel, who decided to do something about Homer's mother. She'd been mentioned only once before, and many of the writers couldn't believe that an episode about Homer's mother hadn't been previously produced.
That's what I was thinking, actually, as well.
Yeah, right.
Beforehand, that it was like, there was like, it just was commonplace that it was like, yeah, Homer's mom is, you know, whatever. Yeah. It doesn't exist, like, and it's like, there's gold to be mined at them there hills.
So like, much, like, even, and then with between Homer, Abe, and then the mother, like, there's loads of angles that could go. The ending shot, which we will get to, with Homer gazing at the sky, was decided at the table read, but the drawing at the end was inserted by David Silverman because he felt the scene was so touching that no other lines were needed. So as a result, no promos were aired over the credits during the original airing of the episode. And Bill Oakley admits he always gets teary-eyed when he watches the ending.
So, they do that at the end of Fox shows.
Where they have, like, coming up next.
Yeah, I always remember Family Guy did a great thing on it where it was like...
Oh, they're at the bottom
of the screen. And all new Shoving Buddies, you know, at the bottom where it's like...
It is really intrusive, though, especially on American TV. It's like, it fills up the whole screen, people bouncing around, like...
And what's with American ads? When I was in America, I heard Zach Braff doing an Andrex toilet.
Really?
Yeah, he played the puppy, the Andrex puppy.
Brilliant.
I was like, what?
You gotta get paid.
I mean, it's not like he did over 100 episodes of a beloved sitcom. Just never needs to work again in his life.
What else?
Let's do a Scrubs podcast.
Never. I'll never do a Scrubs podcast.
Won't happen again.
That's the best. That and the John Dorian three tap method were two huge laughs for me. Hang on, what's that noise?
That might have been me doing the hooch tap.
All right. Oh, my computer binged. I just want to make sure we're still recording. Okay, we're good. Finally, what else have I got here? Mona Simpson was designed in a way. Clearly, I'm reading these, by the way, and didn't come up with these insights all by myself. She was designed in a way that she could somewhat resemble Homer in her face, such as the shape of her upper lip and her nose. And there were several design changes because the directors were trying to make her attractive older, make her an attractive older and younger woman, but still be Simpson-esque.
They did a pretty good job with her, I have to say.
Like, yeah, I think so. Yeah. And her crime was intentionally the least violent crime the writers could think of. And she didn't harm anyone and was only caught because she came back to help Mr. Burns, which is kind of smart as well. It wasn't
I know it's a joke and all, but it's like her crime was setting germ warfare back 30 years.
Yeah.
Like, give her a medal, like
arrest her.
Yeah.
The character was named after Richard Appel's wife at the time, the novelist Mona Simpson. When Mona,
really?
Simpson and all. Simpson, eh? When Mona gets in the van, her voice is done by Pamela Hayden because Close couldn't say doe properly, and thus the original...
Did sound different, didn't
they?
It?
They used the original, the different track. That's all I've got, Terry.
Okay, do we want to start with your notes?
Oh, yes. Now, if I was in any way prepared, I'd have had these already. But I'm not.
Well, look, I will say I did like the very start where it was like, brilliant. Like, here's your caption, boys.
Yeah.
Local hero shuns spotlight and pitches in. Like,
why are they picking up trash? I didn't quite pick up on that.
I think it's just a PR thing, like, you know.
All right. They're all just spending their Saturday, like, just like doing community service, essentially. I was a big fan of the of Homer, like, as he's going down the thing, that the whole
just when I was a kid, I always loved that, like, now I'll just walk across these slippery rocks. Yeah.
It did look like that, like, at the time. It's like, it didn't look like a dummy when he fell.
Yeah, but just the way he says it, like, why would you be saying that? Like, you know, like,
everything seems above board here.
Yeah, so it's like,
he spent $600 to get out just to have a nice Saturday, essentially. Like, that's all it is.
What happens when he falls off? He gets snagged on a tree branch.
Yeah.
Good. Rocks break his arms and legs.
That was a great one. Yeah. The rock broke his arms and legs.
Like, just like grab onto those pointy rocks, and he's like, "Those helpful beavers are swimming out to save him." Like, oh no, they're biting him and they're stealing him. His pants. And then, like, Smithers, like, he'll be sucked into the turbines.
And Smithers, I love the
first of all, Burns. Who was that corpse?
Who was that corpse? Who was that gastropod? But Smithers, like, straight away, just because he's dead, like, one of the hardest, bravest the men finest. From sectors. Yeah.
I love, he's such, like, a company man, Smithers, in that, like, he's like, oh, he was one of us, but also straight back to work, like, you know. I actually think Smithers is such an underrated character.
He is, yeah.
Like, he's just so fucking good.
His ones are real subtle, like, you know, you have to be paying attention almost for his.
Like, when you're younger, you're like, whatever, but, like,
yeah,
like, even, I always think back, like, one of my favourite jokes with Smithers is, like, when he's the Treehouse of Horror, and it was like, what do you think, Smithers? And he was like, I think women and semen don't mix. Yeah. He's like, we know what you know think. What you later, think. You're hired.
When they had the news, some great newspaper flying headlines in this episode, but I love that local man loses pants, life. It drives me mad when newspapers do that, when they just use a comma instead of an, but just local man loses pants, life. I think that's one of my favorite newspaper headlines.
I did love when, like, Lovejoy and Ned and all show up, and he's like, you have our deepest condolences. I'm sorry, I'm just nervous. I didn't mean any offense.
I was a big fan of the scene as well when they go out the back, just the visual scene of the empty hammock.
Yeah.
It looked really good.
And then Lisa, hi, everybody.
Yeah, that's a great gag. Lisa, like, couldn't be happier. Like, Marge, I'm going to give you the card of our junior counselor. There's something about Lovejoy's delivery. Like, it's that dry, like, monotone sort of delivery. It's brilliant.
Hello, Ned.
Damn Flanders.
Yeah. Oh, why do you hate my trains, Lord?
And then, like, then the electricity gets cut, and your man up on the pole is so fucking, it's the classic Raphael voice. And it's like, ho, 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 no mistake.
He's like, the juice stays up, do you get a job or a generator? Oh, and my deepest sympathies.
Brilliant.
And I didn't look when she's like, Homer. He's like, that's my name.
Now, did you find, I know that the animation in the dark was a bit, you know, it's like, you told me no, and the eyes are going all over the place. But did you find the animation a bit particularly weird in this episode in comparison to the last few?
Like, even that, yes, but it was something different, because even Lisa skipping by was the, and, like, the guy, your youngest daughter, you know, he looked like, there was,
it was like, at times there was, like, you know, two lines around, like, their outline. You know what I mean? Like,
it reminds me of the Chili episode. Like, it's as if we've gone to, like, season 8 animation already or something like that. Yeah. Like, you know? It kind of reminds me of, it seemed
very different.
It's yeah. And it, look, I mean, I don't think they're all animated in order. Like, yeah, so it must be. Like,
I wonder when, if that was earlier or later. I couldn't even tell.
I think animation is fun, you know, like, it's fascinating in that, like, how it's done compared to like South Park or something, like the hand-drawn animation is like, what the fuck, like.
How does South Park manage to get an episode out in 7 days?
It's all computers now with them, like. So you know the way it was stop motion originally?
Yeah.
And it took so long. And now it's all computers. Yeah, so it's like, it's like you say, to do it in a week, like.
Like literally from like almost writing it to.
Have you seen that thing?
Yeah. That's basically really, what I'm really getting it off of. Like. It was really good, yeah. I was a fan as well of the Simpsons always have those great like little subheadings, underheadings, where it was like Homer's going into the historical records place, and it's like not the good kind of records, historical ones. Brilliant.
That guy was very good, the bureaucrat.
Yeah.
Mr. Simpson, I'll just make the change here and you're all set.
He couldn't be nicer as well. Yeah. I have a right to see what's on that screen.
You sure do. He's like, why is Marge? Like, Homer is so annoyed at something that he did himself, like, you know.
And how convenient that he's like, this says my mother's still alive. And like, he's like, looks out that window, like, there's my mother's grave.
I did like the line reading. He's like, have you ever been up there, Mr. Simpson? Yeah. You're like, huh. You know, like, thinking, like, he was the perfect amount of, like,
professional
maybe you should go look. I'm not going to tell you, but, like, you know.
Exactly. And, like, then I was thinking, like, has Homer never been to see his mother's grave? Like, even he thinks that's, he's like, you know, like, my dad says it every time we drive by. Like, has he not gone to talk to his mom or to, you know, anything?
Obviously not, like.
In the last, like, 40-odd years.
I did like that where, like, he falls in the grave. Yeah. Like, first of all, I love the, like, why does my grave, why does my death keep coming back to haunt me? I think is a fantastic line.
Yeah. And then,
she's like, get out of my son's grave. He's like, hate the rain in the parade, lady, but this is my grave.
I forgot who was voicing Homer's mother in this. And the whole episode, I kept trying to pinpoint it. It was driving me mad. I was like, I'm not Googling it.
We talked about it last week.
Yeah, but I forgot, didn't I?
Yeah, fucking.
You know my memory.
I ever? And they did like that word, like, I thought you were dead. It's like, dog blasted? Isn't anybody in this doggone cemetery dead? Like, mole man, of course, of all people.
He didn't want to make a fuss. Like, he's willing to be buried alive to avoid making a fuss.
When I was a kid, like, my favorite character.
Was great. And I kind of felt for Homer when he's like, he already knows, he's already sad, and he's like, I have a habit of spoiling the moment, and like, he has nothing to do with it, like, this, he just knows what his life is like. He's like, I'm sorry. Like a fish just dangling from his pants.
Well, the pelican just like, and it's like, okay, when they're writing this, they're like, okay, so what are we gonna do, like,
pelican drops a fish into his pants.
Yeah, okay, but something a bit more, you know. It's like, what, or like, what's the most ludicrous thing that can happen? Like,
yeah,
a pelican. Okay, yeah, go with that. It's like, and then he drops like a giant fish, and it falls in his pants and wiggles around. Perfect.
I'd love to see the process. They should do that even now. I mean, I guess they couldn't really do it as much back then, but now I think it'd be a great sort of, like, I would watch, like, on a show that, like, say Always Sunny or something like that, where they just record them shooting ideas back and forth, and then someone edits it down to like a 20-minute thing, and like, you know, it could be a bonus, or like, I would love to see something like that.
Like, what was the one for Seinfeld? Was it Running with the Egg?
Yeah, they had one every season. One of them was called
that
Running
was really
with the
good
Egg.
Like,
yeah, it was brilliant.
Those DVDs of Seinfeld were like,
they were great, weren't they?
Gold, a gold mine of extras, like,
yeah, it was brilliant. Like, all the commentaries and all. I like the little Melrose Place joke, little shot across the bows there.
Yeah, screw those guys.
And I was always a fan. I always remember the line when, and like, I didn't even know what it meant as a kid, when Mona's like, I feel I have an instant rapport with you, Lisa, or whatever. And she's like, you didn't dumb it down. You said rapport. And I remember always, I don't know why that always stuck in my head, but like, obviously now I understand what it means. But I just like that. I like that bond. That like, it's a little piece of the puzzle of like why Lisa's so different.
The way she is, and like the fact that like Homer is like, hey Ma, look at me, like in the background, like like walking, like it's perfect, like juxtaposition.
Homer's so odd. Like, yeah, it is. Like, he's reverted right back to, like, yeah. being like, even less mature.
But he is a little boy, Homer, in this episode. Like,
did you find it endearing or odd when he's in the bedroom with Marge and he's doing this, like, weird dance, like, woohoo, I'm so glad to have my mom back. And then, like, Marge says her line. It just seems so weird. Like, I don't know if you picked
it
up on that.
I liked it.
Like,
what's
going on here? Like,
he's just happy. It's nice to see him so happy for once. Like, yeah. It's nice to see him happy and energized. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he's just buzzing.
Like, he's happy when he's, like, having a beer and sitting on the couch or stuffing his face. But it's nice to see him emotionally happy.
Yeah.
If you know what I
mean?
Like,
it is. It's always nice to see Homer happy.
Yeah.
And I love baby Homer.
Yeah. Little Homer. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah.
Just that, like, mom.
Yeah.
Mom.
Now, I did like when the kids were looking at her calling cards or whatever. Mona Simpson, Mona Stevens, Martha Stewart. Hi-yo. Penelope Olsen, Muddy Mae Suggins.
Yeah. These are the calling cards of a con artist.
And I did like that when it was like Marge. She's like, don't get your hopes up. You know, she left you for 25 years. And he's like, first, it wasn't 25 years. It was 27 years.
Yeah.
And like, and second, she had a very good reason. And then he's just like, it kind of breaks your heart a little bit where he's like,
yeah,
I guess I was a horrible son and no mother would want me. And I go, oh, Homer.
I know. The emotions are dialed up to 10 in this episode.
Yeah, they surely are. Like.
I love the fact that Joan Namath's hair is what turned her into a hippie.
And, you know? Like, I will say there's four needle drops in this
episode. In this episode.
So you got Cream, Sunshine of Your Love.
Yeah.
You got Jimi Hendrix, All Along the Watchtower.
Yeah.
You got Wagner, Flight of the Valkyries.
Yeah.
And you got ABBA, Waterloo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, you don't normally get that many songs in a Simpsons episode. Like,
and it was fucking like,
I was loving the tunes in this one.
First of all, I love the line with Grandpa where he's like, I'm trying to watch the Super Bowl. If people don't support this thing, it might not make it.
He's such a prick as well.
And then, like, the great, like, I don't know if you ever heard your man Howard Cosell in real life. It's a dead on, like, Willie Joe Namath swaggering off the field. Like, the impersonation is spot on.
Brilliant.
The rest of Monday night is given over to those gargantuan Goliaths of the gridiron. That bouncing behemoth ballet known better as professional football.
And then who was it that you, whose haircut could you set your watch to?
Johnny Unitas.
how mad is it that line, there's a something you can set your watch to?
I always say, you know, whenever somebody gets like a short back inside or something like that. Like,
buzz cut or something, yeah.
Johnny Unitas over here. I used to always say to Shane O'Neill, actually, when he get his haircut.
Brilliant.
Johnny Unitas.
I was a fan then when they're in the chemistry lab or whatever. Chief Wiggum, I think, he's not really in the first half of this episode.
Yeah.
But what a stellar performance he plays in the second half.
Well, he's like, that's a nice clown, Mr. B.
Yeah.
Like, what is with his voice? Like, what's going on with him? Like,
he's just a kid.
Yeah, no, but then it turns out that it's the asthma.
Let me breathe. You know what, I thought when that joke was coming up, I was like, this is going to be a dated joke because I remember this so well. But you know what, I did laugh when it came up.
I laughed because it was when he's like running, he's like, no, it's like, wait a minute, bronchial tubes clearing, asthma disappearing, acne remains, but acne asthma disappearing.
And I was a fan as well then. It's like Kent Brockman, he's like, I'm Kenny Brockelstein. That's such a great little touch of just like that,
all these
that
little things. Like, of course, like,
yeah,
that would happen with somebody, like, if they make it big.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and then I thought again, it was so like when Mona's telling the story, and Homer's like, I thought I dreamed that kiss.
Yeah.
Like she kisses him as she has to leave forever, and like it's just so like, huh. Just pulling out all the feel. And how has that beer gone down now?
It's done.
Neck it.
I wish I had more.
I wish I had less of this.
You gotta drink it all.
Tripe. Anyway,
to swallow that tripe. So yeah, he has a bunch of undelivered mail, and it's, it serves as a good plot point. And I was thinking about it. I was like, it doesn't really make much sense. And then it's like, oh, of course, this is where Burnsy spots her.
Yes, I'd like to send this letter to the Prussian consulate in Siam by aeromail. Am I too late for the 4:30 autogyro?
Oh, I better look in the manual.
Oh, the ignorance.
Am I too late for the 4:30 autogyro? Kid's like, I better look in the manual.
Like, it's so funny just Burns being there by himself, getting something he needs, running errands. Like,
and like, I love how it's like the kid is like, the book must be out of date. I don't see Prussia, Siam, or autogyro. It's like, well, keep looking. Like, and then she's gone. Like, that's what distracts him. Guy. Like, now, did you pick up on the next reference here?
Probably not.
So the two guys that were in Burnsy's office.
Who are
Joe
they?
Friday and Bill Gammon. Gannon, excuse me.
Gammon.
I love a good gammon steak, I do.
And me.
Yeah. They're from a little show called Dragnet.
Okay.
Was remade into a movie in the 1980s starring none other than Tom Hanks and Dan Aykroyd.
What?
Yeah.
An 80s.
Dan Aykroyd played the guy.
I can actually see him in that role.
Dan Aykroyd was the... What is he? Maybe she thought the war in Southeast Asia was so immoral and the ends justified her means. You know, the guy like...
Yeah. I can see him playing that role.
That's Joe Friday. That was Dan Aykroyd. He was like the straight-laced one. Hey, Joe, I love your man.
You haven't been the same since your son went crazy and now.
It's the pain that never ends.
Dun, 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 dun. This episode is the first time that I actually heard the song Blowing in the Wind.
Really?
When I was a kid. Like, I knew it from this, and then obviously I heard the Bob Dylan song later in my teens.
We had done it in school, I think, as part of one of our singing classes. Because I remember, like, oh, that's from school. Like, you know, how many roads must the man walk down?
Was it you who said that you can't stand In the Living Years from Mike and the Mechanics?
It's like... That's a bad trigger for me.
That's the other kind of class. Trigger.
That's PTSD. Like, go Mr. Fitzsimons class.
Mr. Graney called me out in front of the whole class because we're all reading. I think I might have told you already where it's like we're all reading the hymn sheet or whatever it was. And I knew it because we'd sang it so much. So I had the sheet kind of rolled up in my hand, like as we were singing. And he's like, I'm sorry, it's Mr. Green. He's like, I'm sorry, I have to stop you there, but there is a lad down the back driving me spare. And I was like, oh, who is it? And he pointed at me. Like, I never had him as a teacher as well. So it was like this, you know, extra weird.
This is mirrors. I think I've told this story in the podcast so much before. It was like, because Graney and Fitzsimons were the two guys that ran the music thing.
Yeah.
And it was the exact same thing happened. I was sitting down the back and it was like, wasn't to do with music, but it was like Fitzsimons was like, he's like, well, there's a lad that's been cheating and if he comes forward now, there'll be no punishment. And I was like,
I used to love
and then it was, and then he was like, okay, if he comes forward now, 50 lions. And I was like, you may as well come forward, like, and it was like, okay, 100 lines, and then it was like, he's like, 200 lines, and I was like, who is this guy? And then he was like, okay, I'll tell you who it was. It was Terry Towner, and I was like, what the? Like, he said I was looking at my neighbor's copybook or whatever like that, like, and then like, I was just like, and he's like, if he doesn't stop glaring at me, he'll get another 200. I'm like, I actually remember
that bit. And if he doesn't stop glaring at me,
I'm in sixth class. Like, what are you talking about?
I'm
like,
11.
I'm looking up at you. You're the teacher. Like,
you're a grown man. I'm an 11-year-old boy.
You're a grown, insane man, and I am just sitting in the back.
5,000 lines. Get out.
I remember one of the students told him to fuck off.
I'm not surprised.
It was like, yeah.
That's from all of us.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Good days.
School mental, huh?
We should do another pod or a Patreon pod on just on school days.
Yeah, I mean, we'll do another one. Yeah, we did a mini-sode, and we could have ran for another 4 hours. Like,
I was a fan of the joke in this where they're trying to track her down, and they're saying all these questions, and like, I don't know if it was a reference having that New York guy, because it seemed so not a Simpsons character that they were questioning.
Yeah,
and he's like, she should look 25 years younger.
Yeah, that's
show
so good.
The number 25.
Like, oh yeah, he's like, I've seen her. That's what prompts it. I saw her.
Why is that so funny?
And it's just because
it's the callback as well.
He perks up when he sees 25. Yeah. And he's like, I see her. And then he's like, that is to say, I saw her. And then like the other guy's like, I saw her. That is to say, I seen her.
I tell you,
Grandpa, when he burst in.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, they're like, oh, like they think it's like, oh shit, like somebody's tracked them down. It's like, no door is going to keep me from my meddling.
Yeah.
Stand up straight, Bart.
This is the first time I realized that he wasn't barging there. In because he knew the mother was there. He's just barging in to give out to them for no reason. But then
he's like, he's fucking cutting deep when he's like, oh, here's a piece of bad news. And he's like, you left me to raise the boy on my own. He's like, you were a lousy wife and a worse mother.
Yeah. Jesus Christ,
Abe. And then he's like, I never forgave you. Can we have sex?
That seemed, you know what, I didn't
that, that
really
was
like,
always edited out when we were younger.
Was it?
100%.
Yeah. It seemed quite jarring to me, even out. But
even then, her reaction to it is like, oh, Abe. Like, get a hold of yourself. Yeah.
Like he lost all sort of credibility there. Yeah. The one thing I didn't appreciate was when they're in the back yard, as they'd say, and Maggie
doing the
hippie dance. Oh, I didn't like. Now, the jokes in this were quite different to the normal, and I generally appreciated it, but I didn't appreciate that one, though.
No, that one was very... It was jarring. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like...
Stop.
What he's going for here? Like, you've kind of done the tone quite nicely so far, and then...
It's like, do you guys think that's funny?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's like,
you know, like,
is this for our boomer fans that are watching it? Like,
yeah, like they know comedy better than anyone in 96 or 95 or whenever it is. Anyway,
but even that, I was like, oh, I'm so glad that the spirit of the 60s is still alive in your kids. Like, is it? You know, like that's it. Just seems so shoehorned in.
They're just rambunctious. It's some sort of like quick bond.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
and then.
So, yeah, they go to Patty and Selma's.
Oh, yeah.
I think you get the best joke of the episode.
Oh.
Where it's like, Burns like, we know you bought the tombstone. Whose tombstone is like, just lift your coffee cup, something. He's like,
put out an APB on a Eustace R. Dewo. Better start with Greek Town.
That's Homer J. Simpson, Chief. You're reading it upside down.
Cancel that APB. But bring back some of them gyros.
Chief, you're talking into your wallet.
Oh, but bring back some of them gyros. He's like, you're talking into your wallet. Like, it's just like...
Unfurls. It's like it couldn't have gone worse. He gets the name wrong.
It's just
he admits defeat.
The useless R-D-W-O.
I actually agree. I completely forgot about that. That was actually the best joke.
It's inspired, I think. It's inspired joke writing.
It is, that, yeah.
The final
little, like, you're talking into your wallet, really. Like, oh, it adds on to every joke that went before it. Like, it makes those funny.
Yeah, the fact that, like, it's so in character with him as well. There's like, he's like, I cancel that ABB, but get the gyros.
Yeah. He's not even getting that.
Yeah.
I like
this right
sort of,
at the end then, pretty much, like,
yeah, where he's like, I don't want to alarm you, but can you take one last look at the kids and meet me in the kitchen?
Mm.
I thought like even that was sad. Like, and then you get obviously the Waterloo.
Now, bit. Let me ask you, like, have you listened to much ABBA in your lifetime?
Yes.
Do you like them?
I do.
I think
very much.
fucking deadly. I never appreciated them as a kid because I had to star in that stupid ABBA play in school. But I know all the songs.
Triggers all over the place.
Oh, like,
what's your favorite ABBA song?
Maybe SOS.
Ooh, good one.
You know, like, off the top of my head, probably SOS.
Big fan of that one. Like, what's the?
I mean, Waterloo was fucking deadly. Like,
Waterloo was deadly.
I ever refuse. I feel like I
the winner
win
takes
when
it
I
all.
Lose. Huh?
The winner takes it all.
Oh yeah, think of Partridge.
Banging ones, yeah. oh, they have loads of great ones though.
I had to do it 2 years in a row. Fourth class and fifth class. Fourth class was ABBA. Do all the songs of ABBA. Fifth class was do all the songs of the Beatles.
Well,
I mean, pretty good.
I prefer. That's pretty good. That's a step up,
alright. Like, all the Beatles ones were, they were none of
our favorites. It wouldn't be in our top
five. A lot
lives.
Of it was. I mean, I I'm a fan of Jen. Maybe this is why I'm a fan. It's like stuff like 8 Days a Week and like.
Yeah.
We did do maybe, like, or it was like Sgt. Pepper's like song. You know, like.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, they're great.
It is great, but like, there's so many, many more greater ones out there.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Way more.
It's like, who's picking these songs? Let me be fucking Beatles.
You'll never know how much I really love you.
Like, the parents are like looking up and be like, no, it's okay. Like,
Terry just standing in front of the curtain, like spotlight in a suit. You'll never know how much I really care.
Do, 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 do,
curtain
do,
opens do, up listen. Behind. Playing on the recorder.
Well, play that recorder, boy. We were in Portugal one time. We went to see a band called The Bottles.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
They were a Portuguese Beatles tribute band and they were fucking deadly. And they were dressed in like grey Sgt. Pepper's outfits.
Ooh, nice.
But they did a mix of like all that early stuff or like they did like up tempo stuff. They did like I Saw Her Standing There and that, but then they'd also do like Michelle and stuff like that.
Nice
as well. It was just
I love a good tribute actor.
Yeah,
I
went to see the story of the Beatles as well. Get Back.
Oh yeah, was that good?
Yeah, it's really good.
I remember actually seeing that advertised. Look good, Ari.
Really good.
I thought like if I can mention on the last scene in this one, I thought. The saddest bit for me, I mean, obviously the end is brilliant, but it's the hug at the end when she's like, you know, you have a mother and she's truly proud of him and all this sort of stuff. And I thought, like, you know, he's always been a screw up and, like, you know, it just seemed like
she
something like that.
To accept him.
He would really, it would really benefit him to hear that. And even then, as they're hugging, he lets out this sort of like, oh, or something. I was like, oh, Jesus. Like
even he's like, don't forget me.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah,
they're
man.
Really, they're really tugging at the heartstrings now at the end.
Yeah.
And then I like the fact that they throw in that bit of like, hurry up, man. baby's only got 20 minutes.
Where are you
going to
get in 20 minutes? Like, this electric van's only got 20 minutes of juice left. And they even like, Homer's on the phone and he's like, sure, like they do something weird with Wiggum's voice at the end there as well, where it's like, just think of me as an anonymous friend who rose to the ranks of the Springfield police to become Chief Clancy Wig. Good joke.
And then you get you know, she hits her head, someone else says doe, and him sitting in the car. I mean, it is just such a lovely.
Every time somebody passes away, you'll see it on Irish Simpsons fans or something, you know.
Yes, 100%.
Looking up at it. It's lovely bit of animation,
Yeah, it was brilliant. Well, look, that was it. Can we get into ratings for the love of God?
Sure.
Please?
We want you to tell us what you think and be honest because no one from the show is here spying on you.
Let me ask you something, what did you think of this episode?
Mr. Scientist. I really liked it. In terms of how good a story it was, like, you're right, it's hitting a lot of emotional beats. Wasn't very laugh out loud, but there's mm-hmm. some good jokes in it, yeah. you know. That being said, I found myself, I don't know, like there were certain times in it when like I'm like switched off or something.
Yeah.
In it, like, you know, that it was like, all right, it's over already. Like, you know, it just seemed to kind of zip by. Yeah. And like, I didn't really care that much that it was over. I'm not trying to be negative because they're like,
yeah,
it's definitely not the worst one we've watched all year. But like, yeah. at the same time,
it was very different. Like,
it is that it's hard to like. It's a good. It's a very good episode of television. But would it be my favorite? I would say,
right.
You know, it's. I can appreciate what it's going for, definitely. Yeah. Like, you know, just, and it still brings yeah. a bit of the funny. But, yeah, but I don't know. I just looked at it maybe in a different... Like, because I'm looking at it with more of a critical lens this time around, I'm like, yeah. yes, I appreciate it, but also...
In I'm comparison also, to what we've been given, maybe it's you know, like in the last few weeks.
Like...
Because they were proper, like, comedy-centric episodes, you know?
Yeah, I think, like, if I hadn't been watching this and, like, not been doing the podcast, I would have been like, oh, great episode, you know? This is good. But, like, because I'm, like, trying to analyze it, I'm like, okay, this is what they're going for here and that. And
yeah,
some bits land, some don't.
Yeah,
I'll give it...
Yes?
An 8.5.
Ooh. Okay.
So what was last week? Last week was...
Last week you were 8.5 as well.
Yeah, what was last week was...
King Size Homer.
Yeah, it's same, but different. Like, you know what yeah. I mean? In terms of... I think it's a better story than last week's one, but last week's one was funnier.
Yeah.
If you get me. Like, you know? So they're both not the worst, but also not yeah. near the best either. Like, you know?
Can I ask who your MVP would be?
Now, interesting. I'm going to give it to Smithers.
Ooh.
He's in like four scenes.
Delightfully devilish, Terry.
But I, there's something about like just his, like, I don't, we didn't even talk about him too much, but like, I loved how, like I say, he's Mr. Burns bootlicker.
Yeah. And,
but like the way, like he gets that moment with like the Waterloo bit.
Yeah.
Like.
You like, get another little snapshot into his life.
Yeah. But also just I don't know why it just tickled me so much where like he's like so concerned about Homer, he's like, I'll be sucked into the turbines, like
yeah.
one of the finest men you'll ever yeah.
so phony, like
yeah exactly. So I'm gonna give this Smithers just cause
I okay think. Yeah, that's a good yeah. shout. It's a nice one from the bench. It's always nice when you pick yeah. one from the bench as an MVP.
Here we go.
Now I quite like this one more. I kind of thought going into it, I was like, oh, like I don't think this one's going to be as good as, you know, the last couple of weeks. But I actually loved it. It was just a very different kind of episode, and like it didn't always land, but I just appreciated, like, loved the tunes, loved the, you know, all that sort of stuff really helped with it. I loved the connection, you know, giving Lisa a bit of a thread there. To, you know, why she's so different, and you know, maybe it was just because there was a 60s setting and I'm just a fan of that decade. But yeah, I just thought it was really good. It had a shit ton of heart, but like always, you lift one, you lose a bit of the other, so you know, but that used
very hard to get that balance, isn't it?
I would give Wiggum my MVP. I thought
yeah.
he was great. And I would give it a rating of 8.9.
Is that your highest?
No, I gave given a 9.4 to whatever episode 4 was. I can't remember.
Interesting.
So yes, that, as they say, is that. Now, Terry, I'm just going to go ahead and get our plugs in.
Please.
You can find us now. Listen.
Now, like wait,
I said, yeah.
Before we
yeah.
get our plugs in, will we tell yeah. the good folks what's coming next week?
Why don't you tell them what's coming next week?
Well, it's Sideshow Bob's Last Gleamings.
Very excited about episode.
This one. Mm, interesting.
Love it.
So, I'm looking forward to this.
Excellent. Well, look, if you want to tune in next week, that's what we'll be discussing. If you want to follow us on social media, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram. I put it in H Podcast. I'll obviously still be promoting the episodes and letting people know when there's a new one. But like I said, I've taken a bit of a break, so I won't be posting too much else unless I think of a hilarious meme that I just can't resist. You can email us. I put it in H. Yeah, I'm thoroughly enjoying it, so I'm trying to keep it going. The email address is putitinhpod@gmail.com.
I take we didn't have any emails this week.
We did not. I checked. No, we didn't have anything, unless we got one in the last hour or so.
Sons of bitches.
And, where else can they find us, Terry?
Well, if you're interested in finding out where all the real good shit is going down, why don't you pop over behind the old Patreon paywall? We're making podcasts there at Put It in H Pod. We're doing a sister podcast here. It's called What's So Great About, where we're like, I don't know, 15, 18 deep into the Marvel Cinematic Universe now. I tell you, we're getting to the stage where we're coming close to the end game. You see what I'm doing there, Andy?
I do.
Well, we're at Black Marvel Panther, so we're right around the corner. So that's happening, and then we also have bonus episodes every other week.
We've got about 18 Marvel ones, and we've got about 14 bonus episodes in there. So you're getting bang for your buck, anyway. It's about 32
for the low fee of $5 redos. And look, if you want to hear us talk about certain stuff, you sign up to the Patreon and you tell us what you want us to talk about.
Yeah.
But you gotta sign up for that Patreon.
We won't listen to you unless you're giving us some sort of cash.
Now, if you can't afford the $5, you know, pandemic, times are tough. We get it. I hear you.
One of us gets it.
Yeah. But there's only so far my understanding will go to. Because if you're not giving me my $5, then you gotta give me the stars. My wife keeps asking me, where's the star rating, Terry? When are we going to get the star rating? When are the 5 stars? And so on. So
why aren't you getting 5 stars now?
Yes. So I need a rating. I need a review. I mean, quite frankly, your conscience should be telling you. Like Andy's saying, we've got a bunch of new listeners. Well, that's great. Why aren't they giving us 5-star reviews? Andy, can you answer me that?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's been...
I'll tell you what. It's been...
1 week since you looked at me.
Look, what I'll say to you guys out there, all you new listeners, very much appreciated. But yeah. Christmas is coming. Get your early Christmas present into your old Uncle Teabag and give him a 5-star review or a rating.
I do not like Apple the sound of whatever. Uncle Teabag.
Your old Uncle Teabag.
Like, not Uncle Teabag.
T-Bone, then. Whatever.
Yeah, T-Dog, Uncle T-Bone.
Double T. Mr. T.
€2 Big Terry.
T. Yeah, €2 Terry.
Yeah. Mr. Terrineur.
No. Whoa.
Pump those brakes.
Fucko.
But yeah, we have had a big bump in numbers. I don't understand. I guess it's just a good show, and maybe I'm just going to accept it.
I guess we're just that damn good.
If you are new, reach out to us. Tell us how you heard about us. You know,
tell more friends.
More importantly, tell your friends. Tell your mother.
Yeah. Tell your dad. Surely your dad likes The Simpsons. Every dad likes The Simpsons. Just ask me.
Just ask us.
Our dad like me.
On that note,
I'm rambling wildly out of control, Andy.
we're gonna stick a pin in it for now, and we'll come back to you next week with Sideshow Bob's last gleaming. Goodbye.
Yeah.